Okay, I'm going to share with you about coming asteroids, and tsunamis, and earthquakes, and chaos. And I'm going to start with a revelation given to Mina Lee Grebin on May the 31st of 2016. She said, a couple of weeks ago, I had a visitation from the Lord. He came to me, reached out his hand, and said, come, I want to show you something. I placed my hand in his and we began to travel. We ended up on a shoreline more like a beach. It was dusk. And Jesus pointed up towards the sky. And my eyes followed his lead and I beheld the beautiful colors of the sky as evening time settled in. Okay, let me just back up and share just a little something with you. We, as you know, we've had quite a few revelations about spring, and now we've entered into summer, which tells us one thing about at least this year, and that is that if it happens this year, it's a spiritual spring and not a physical spring. Okay? So this may weigh into that, this revelation right here. I'll just share it with you. And see what you think. All of a sudden, I saw a red object coming in from the atmosphere. It got bigger and bigger as it drew closer. It was an asteroid. It was on fire and looked like a burning hot coal. Well, just before the first trumpet of the tribulation, fiery coals are thrown upon the earth and bring a great earthquake, which fits an awful lot of dreams and visions we've got. Revelation 8 and 5 says, the angel taketh the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it upon the earth. And there followed thunders and voices, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels that had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So this happened before the first trumpet. Okay. In Ephraim's revelation, which is on our site, the asteroid that hit the water west of Puerto Rico caused a great earthquake. Will an asteroid hit the water west of Puerto Rico, striking a known fault, causing a 12 magnitude earthquake and resulting tsunami that will devastate the islands there and the East Coast and the Gulf Coast? Well, we'll find out. And also, the East Coast is connected to that particular spot where he had the revelation that it fell. It's where the North American plate is pushing under the Caribbean plate, a seismic zone. A seismic zone that, if hit by something like that, could shake the United States. She went on to say, I watched in horror as it pounded into the ocean far away, and the Lord looked at me and said, when it hits, they will have 30 minutes to an hour to evacuate. And after he said this, I saw the water coming in, a tsunami. Well, last week, the Lord spoke to me and said, what I'm about to do, no man can take credit for. Over time, I have allowed man, and through Satan using them, to believe that they are in control and have dominion. But now is the time for America to know that I am. What will be unleashed, even the elite have no idea about. And in the end, even a few of them will fall on their knees and cry out to me. Yes. You know, God has control over the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor. He rules over them all, although many don't believe that, including the people themselves don't believe that. But God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. And the Lord repeats history over and over and over as a proof that he controls history and future events. According to Sandy Shaw's dreams, the elite planned an earthquake of great magnitude, but the Lord beat them to it by 3 days. Maybe before those in government made it into their continuity bunkers. I don't know. But I know Sandy saw Washington, D.C. buildings fall in the East Coast quake. And Ken Dewey saw it bring down the government. For this reason, Sandy saw that they were lying on the news about the damage that was done. They were kind of lowballing it, and I can imagine why. If they did lose their government, they certainly wouldn't want to tell all the enemies that, hey, here we are, we lost our government. So, things just kind of start fitting together after a while, you know. An angel told a neighbor that an underground government building at the Capitol was being built to house the government in an emergency. I think it was somewhere along the underground train, you know, where people could run quickly go to this place. But the angel showed him the blueprints, and he said that it was built to fall inwards. Of course, we don't know what that means, whether it was a conspiracy on the part of this regime that wanted to overthrow the government to just a dictatorship. That's the only thing we can call it, which was my first thoughts. But it could also be that God is saying that this can happen. And of course, if it happens, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. And we don't wish or desire the death of anybody. We wish that all would repent and come to the Lord, but let's face the facts, it's not going to happen. Anyway, Mina said, this is the third time the Lord has shown me a tsunami. I posted my first dream roughly 3 years ago. The second one I did not post, which occurred in the latter part of 2014. Shortly after returning to Charlotte, after living in the D.C. area for a year and a half, I was in my new home unpacking boxes when the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "You do not believe that I will send a tsunami." I paused for a moment and searched my thoughts and feelings, and I knew to do this because you cannot lie to God. My heart was racing from the sternness in his voice. "No, Lord, I do not believe this will happen before the rapture." And she said, "You're right. I have been pushing the thought away in doubt." I responded. The Lord then answered and said, "But I will send a tsunami, and it will come." Well, some of you know about Ephraim Rodriguez's revelation, and he knew that this asteroid and tsunami would come before the rapture. And other people who said that it would come afterwards, one man in particular on that page who was a pastor, got corrected by the Lord that it would not happen then, that the rapture would not happen before this, that this was coming first. And we know from Scripture that the rapture doesn't come until the end of the tribulation period. And that's very, very easy to prove. You can go to Hidden Manna for the End Times, our book, and you can read the very easy steps to prove this. And a lot of people just don't want to talk about it because they don't want to face it. They want to believe what they want to believe. And they want to believe they're not going to be here for these things. And that they really don't have to be ready for anything because they're going to fly away no matter how dirty they are. And, of course, that's wishful thinking doctrine. And it'll bring a lot of people to destruction. Many will be angry, as they have around the world already. because they thought they were going in a rapture, and suddenly catastrophe hits. Angry with the Lord, angry with the preacher, so on and so forth, you know. Well, people shouldn't teach things that they don't know about and that aren't supported in Scripture. And it's the facts that pre-trib, all-fly-away rapture is not supported in Scripture. She said, "The second dream that I never posted revealed a tsunami coming to the East Coast. This dream was more vivid than the first one I had, which also occurred on the East Coast. I saw how high the waves will be. There are two waves." Well, that makes perfect sense because we're talking about two rocks falling out in the Atlantic. There would be two waves, and they would be coming from a slightly different direction, although it may not be you might not be able to discern that all that good. There were two waves, and it will not be as high as some have said, where half of the country is underwater and millions of lives are lost. Well, I don't know how much I agree with that, but I got to tell you, when God gives warnings and people cry out for mercy, God listens. And quite often, judgments are not as bad as what the Lord said, because He wants to show mercy. And He wants to show that when people pray, He hears. And Mina said, "No, this will not happen because God will not punish the wicked with the just." Well, let me say this. There's always some just that are taken out when the wicked are taken out. It's not necessarily a punishment. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. There are people that are taken out and they don't even know what happened. And it's because they're just taken to the Lord, taken to heaven. And others, because of ignorance of the Word of God and deciding not to believe the Word of God when it says these things, or believe His prophets when they speak, others are taken out because of those things. It's not that they're going to miss heaven. It's just that they're going to be taken out. So yes, there will be some people that are considered just that will be taken out. I will say this, if a person is diligent to seek the Lord, confess their sins, repent, and be obedient to Him, it's much more unlikely that they will be taken out. And she goes on to say, however, there will be much infrastructure damage, billions of dollars, and many lives will be lost. And this will only be the beginning of a domino effect that will collapse the entire country from within. Well, I gotta agree with that. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of revelations about this domino effect, starting from asteroids coming in, three of them in particular, and causing tsunamis, and also earthquakes. And the earthquakes domino across the country from east to west. So it is very much a domino effect. And once these judgments start, they won't stop until they're finished. And it will be very, very quick, one right after another. This is what we've learned. And she says, I'm posting these things not to frighten, but to forewarn. Too many Christians are asleep at the wheel, and we're about to drive right off a cliff. We're living in an illusion that good times will come back to this country, but this is a lie. America doesn't deserve better times. This is true. And America doesn't deserve a great revival, but they're going to get it. Okay? We have not repented of our rebellion, arrogance, greed, perversion, murder, or witchcraft. The Lord has not given up on America. This is why He is bringing judgment, so that we will repent. Amen. Make sure that your lamps are filled, saints. Night soon approaches. Night is true. I mean, this is true in more than one way, let me say, you know. let me say that this asteroid appears to be one of three created when one asteroid broke up coming into the atmosphere, whether it was by missile, as some have stated was going to happen, or whether it just broke up coming into the atmosphere, because that can happen. It quite often does. So when one asteroid broke up into three asteroids with three tsunamis hitting the United States very close together, two of them land in the Atlantic, one in the more northerly part of the Atlantic, and one in the Puerto Rican area, you know, and one in the Gulf. And and I'm just putting together all the dreams that we've received, and when there's confirmations, I pay attention. I think we all should pay attention. I try to not include dreams and visions and revelations from the false revival movement or the false prophetic movement because they don't mean anything. Yeah. And it's a demon. Okay. Now, these asteroids appear to cause the earthquakes that start in the east and go to the western United States. And this will bring the economy down, as we've seen in quite a few dreams. Or at least that's what the powers that be want us to think that is the cause of this. I mean, obviously they want to cover up for their malfeasance, but. And in this dream, Mina had, after this one, is a revelation. I'll get to that in just a minute. Luis Parada said this. He said, "Then I noticed in the distance a sparkle that looked like a shooting star. And before I could say anything, they said, 'Look, a shooting star.' But then it was brighter and it split into three. And I said, 'That's not a shooting star, that's an asteroid or meteor.' Then in the distance I could see the ball of fire from the impact." Okay, so this is, many people get a revelation of one asteroid, but there's quite a few out there of three asteroids or meteors, if you will. Some even call them comets because this is a glowing white thing coming in, you know, and it's, I don't know, they're just trying to describe what they see, you know. So then he saw the ball of fire from the impact, but he said it was an asteroid coming in that split into three. And I think that's very interesting considering, you know, the other revelations out there that talk about the three. And after the first impact, we looked into the sky, and there were hundreds of shining lights coming through like a shower of them. They panicked and got scared, asking, "What do we do?" The first thought that came to mind was, I was right. God promised never to come back with water, but that the next time would be with fire. And I said in a calm voice, "There's nothing you can do. You can't hide from this. If it hits, then it hits, and that's it." And then I realized I wasn't scared or nervous, but thought, "It's time. It's begun." And then I woke up. Well, now this is something else that we've heard before, of that after these asteroids come in, there's going to be a shower of meteorites. Now, I still suggest that this has something to do with going through the tail of Planet X. And I think we're getting closer to that. Anyway, Ann Peterson said this in April of 2001, "I was moved to ask God what was coming at us. The question was as generic as that, but not the answer. I was then shown North America on a globe. I saw three balls of fire streaking across the globe. One hits in the Gulf of Mexico. Another hits near the east coast of Florida. And a third is further out in the Atlantic." Okay, that's pretty much fits a lot of others. I then see America get smaller. Well, we've all seen those maps, too, of the water intruding on the coastlines. And something that can cause that is not just tsunamis, because a tsunami comes in and goes out, but Planet X, as it passes by, would grab the South Pole and pull it towards it, from what I'm seeing, and also slow it down, which would cause the water at the equator, which is something like 700 feet higher than the rest of the globe because of centrifugal force, it would cause this to run north and south immediately as the globe slowed down, flooding the coast. So actually we've got several things that can happen here. A meteor storm, asteroids coming in from the tail of the Planet X, and also this intrusion of water on the coast or low-lying areas. Then she says Florida is washed over. Well, I moved from Florida, and Florida, there's not much there that wouldn't be washed over. It's barely above sea level. I mean, anything like that. When a hurricane comes, by the way, it pushes a storm over it. I mean, it's just barely up there. So Florida is washed over, as well as much of the East Coast and the coastal areas of the Gulf. I asked if people would be warned of this event in any way, and I was told that this was the warning. I asked again about the others who did not hear or see initial warnings. And I heard that there would be a very small window of opportunity for people to get out of harm's way. But most would not listen. Then the only close-up view I got was of I-95. And it was a death trap. And those were the words that I heard, too. Then I was shown a short period of relative stillness. And then I saw the middle of America rise up and then separate into two land masses with a great body of water between the two halves. It's a short period of relative stillness between the East Coast earthquake and the New Madrid earthquake, which causes this. And of course, from there, it goes to the Tennessee Valley, and then it goes to the West Coast, from what we learned, of dreams in the past that are confirmed. And then Virginia Boldia, Dimitri Dudeman's daughter, said this: "It was not a dream. It was late. There were a handful of comets." That's what she described, what she saw. But further down, these are described as fireballs. Okay, we'll get to that. In the sky, a handful of comets in the sky, which looked to be peaceful, suddenly three of them, there's the three again, all different sizes, began to head towards the earth. And when they hit the ground or the earth, there was total devastation. And I looked up. The sky turned black, and I saw thunder. The thunder was also black. Whatever, that's something spiritual there, you know. A dark cloud lifted up, and it began to rain. And when I looked closer, I saw that it was not rain, but drops of blood, meaning this is going to bring a lot of death. That's what's being said there. And as I looked to my left, I saw another man standing on another cloud. He was very tall, dressed in white, with his hands raised high. And each time he moved his hands, fireballs would come out of his fingers. I believe this is a reference to that the verse in Revelation chapter 8 that I spoke about. Fireballs from off the altar, right? I looked awestruck at the man's height and the way his face shone and radiated. Then a powerful voice said, "Remember what I have shown you." This will be the beginning of the pain that I will allow upon the earth. The beginning of pain. Well, that's very much like Luis Parada said. It's time. It's begun. It's a beginning here. So what we're seeing is a beginning of these judgments that falls. And it seems to start, I believe, with Planet X and asteroids coming in, because we obviously, according to history, pass through the tail of Planet X, which is millions of miles long, and although we only pass through it for about an hour at a time, from what I understand, you're going through a blast furnace there of things that are following this planet through space. Not a good place to be. And then I'd like to finish with this revelation that was given to Nina Lee Greben on June the 27th. It was a follow-up revelation after that first one I shared with you. I'm not saying that they're connected, but it looks to me like they are. And at 1:45 a.m. this morning, I received a visitation from the Lord. I first found myself at a press conference. The conference contained about 50 people. We were all sitting at long tables in horizontal rows. I was located at the second seat in the last row on the right. I saw Donald Trump sitting among the people. He was the only person in the crowd that I recognized from behind. I only saw everyone's back from my view. In the front, I saw Obama pacing the floor. He seemed very agitated. He started saying, "They're pushing me. They're pushing me to cause drama." He then walked over to a man seated three rows ahead of me. Obama looked at the man and said, "Kevin, they're pushing me to give them what they deserve. I will give them the chaos that they deserve." Unquote. And the man that seemed to go by the name Kevin frantically grabbed his notebook and began to write on it. It was then that I looked on Obama's forehead and noticed that there was writing on it. It looked as though someone had taken a black Sharpie and wrote across his forehead, and it said, "Chaos is coming." Well, this has been suggested, I think, by a lot of people, false flags to get the attention off of what everybody's attention is on right now. Could very well be. It's logical. It's kind of what those people do. The scenes changed, and I next found myself in a room. Ahead of me, about 30 feet, stood Jesus. He was clothed in simple white robe that illuminated a soft white glow. His face was so clear, clearer than I had ever seen it in all the years he's visited me. It was like I zoomed in on his face, and I studied his thick, dark dark brown hair that rested on his shoulders and the fullness of his beard. The expression on his face was that of sadness, yet stern. I noticed that there were tears streaming from his left eye, and within each tear there was a fetus. Of course, we know the most innocent of all mankind are these babies that this administration has pushed, and of course people who have their own lusts and reasons for not putting up with babies. All of this has pushed us into a very bad situation with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, but without moving his lips, he said, "They are constantly stealing the life that I have given." He paused for a moment and then continued, There are those who are even unaware of their murder, because it is murder. Doctors have convinced some that this is their only choice, that the child is deformed or will be born with abnormalities, so they steal the life that I have given, unquote. I noticed that angels began to stand in formation behind Jesus. They were tall, between 9 and 10 feet in height. They were all golden, clothes, body, and hair. There was 14 of them. I inquired about the position that they were taking, and Jesus responded, "They're taking their positions for the 21 judgments, for they are about to begin. Time is short. I will not delay. I will not delay. I will not delay. My bride is preparing herself, and I will soon call her to me." Of course, a lot of people, I think, including Mina, probably don't understand this, but we do. We've had many revelations of it. God's fixing to use his bride to start this revival. I thought to myself, but there are only 14 angels. In other words, he said there's 21 judgments, but there are only 14 angels. Then Jesus quickly reminded me that the first 7 seals are opened by him. Okay, so if you say the tribulation's already started, and there's a lot of people out there that believe that, it'd be totally contrary to this revelation. Now, could these 14 judgments come before the tribulation? 7 seal judgments, making a total of 21? It seems like that's what's being said here. But the seals have not begun, according to what was spoken to her. And I agree with that 100%. There are things that happen at the beginning of the tribulation period, like the manifestation of the man-child ministry, that will not be overlooked, even by his enemies. They will not be overlooked. The covenant with many, and so on and so forth. Many things that happen at the beginning of the seals, the beginning of the trumps, that haven't happened. There's no way you can say they've happened. So, she said, Jesus then looked at me with a stern voice and said, "Within 3 to 6 months," okay, considering the day that she received this, that would be 3 months, September the 27th, to 6 months, December the 27th. Within 3 to 6 months. Now, whether he's saying all of this is going to happen within that time period, it's not real specific, okay? But he said within 3 to 6 months, total chaos will envelop America. And a pandemic will spread across the world. He then gave me understanding that the two events are separate. And I wasn't given a time frame for the pandemic. Okay. Could that be something that could be started? Yes, very easily, and it's been done before. Some people even say that the chemtrails are already conditioning people for it. Of course, a lot of people have been sickened by the chemtrails, no doubt about that. And a lot of people are wising up where all that chemtrail crud is coming from. There's no doubt about that. Let me say that Mina had already received a dream about this same time period in the spring of 2014, which speaks of the economic collapse. The Lord woke her up about 2:45 a.m. saying, "Death to the finances." He said it so strongly that it startled her. And she asked, "Death to the finances?" Then the Lord said, "A recession within a recession is coming." Then he showed her a vision of the rider on a black horse. He was riding across a calendar and started in September and rode through December. She asked the Lord, "Is it for this year, 2014? And he said, "No." Then he continued, "Small businesses will fail. Those who depend on the government to sustain them will fail." That, obviously, Uncle Scam is not going to have it either, you know, to hand out. And it's not their plan anyway. The housing market is going to crash again. And I want you to warn the people. Tell them what is coming, because those who are in me will be sustained. But not everyone who says they belong to me belong to me. From what we can tell from other dreams, the three asteroids come first and bring the earthquakes and, of course, the tsunamis, which is when the economy collapses and the man-child reformers bring the revival through the bride. As yet, we don't have a confirmation. Of course, we have two of them from Mina, but we haven't got another source of confirmation. Of course, if any of you do have that, please let us know. You know, the Bible says, let the prophets prophesy. And, of course, sometimes when they do that, you don't have a confirmation. You just listen and you wait and see. Or you ask the Lord for confirmation. A good thing. A good thing to do. So if anybody does get a confirmation, please let us know. She said, "I began to pray for the bride. I prayed for wisdom and boldness. The Lord then spoke and said, Psalm 12, for the chosen, for the obedient, and for the faithful." Well, there you have it. The chosen, the obedient, and the faithful. The rebels, they can get taken out at any time. She said, "This is a warning for the church, the bride, and the nation. We need to prepare spiritually and physically for what's about to be unleashed." I'll just read Psalm 12 to you. "For the chief musician, set to Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Boy, I don't know of any day that it's more so than today. There are so many wicked people out there. Even the average guy on the street is wicked, more so than ever. Respects Christianity even less than ever. Of course, we can't always fault them for that, because Christians haven't really given a very good witness, obviously. And Christians aren't really out there doing what they need to do as far as preaching the gospel and offering mercy and grace and healing and deliverance to the people that need it. So it's pretty much a powerless group of people that are called Christians. But that's all going to change, you know, because this revival is going to come in the midst of this great turmoil and trouble and chaos. And save many that otherwise would be lost. And of course, as we pointed out before, the Lord has said many times to us, especially in our morning meeting just recently, we received the same text again concerning how that the Lord brings the wicked in the place of the righteous when judgment comes. And that's a common thing that the Lord does. So I got to tell you, in any judgment, the overwhelming majority of those folks are going to be the wicked that have come in their stead, as the Bible calls it, come in their stead. And, you know, if someone dies in a situation like that, God is never wrong for doing what he does. He always does good things. He is cleansing the earth for less people to be receiving from these people, and or receiving wrath from these people or whatever. He's cleansing the earth so that there's less of that. So he knows what he's doing. And I got to tell you, nobody dies without the Lord. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it. And he has the power to stop it, or he has the power to let it go, or to cause it. And he's not wrong for doing that either. Man is wicked to the core, and getting worse. The godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men, meaning there are not many out there. It's a small percentage. It's a narrow road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad road that leads to damnation, and most find that, obviously. They speak falsehood, every one, with his neighbor. Well, obviously, with our government, lying is not a sin. And I would say with some religions out there, lying is an attribute. So, yes. They teach people to lie and steal and kill and all kinds of things. Very evil. Very evil. With flattering lip and with a double heart do they speak. Oh, we've been hearing lots of flattery, haven't we? Don't trust politicians. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips. The tongue that speaketh great things. There is such pride, it just oozes out of people. Such wickedness that God has had enough. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Yes, it's all about deceiving the multitudes so that you can get somebody to follow you. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? They don't really believe anybody who says all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire is anybody to deal with. But one day if they don't repent, they'll find themselves there and they'll find it the truth. Because of the oppression of the poor, because of the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Well, oppression of the poor has to start with someone. It's certainly happening. And the sighing of the needy is too. Many people have thought hopeless the situation that they can't change. And a little encouragement has come in with Brexit and I would say Trump and some people that they believe change is possible. So there's a little bit of a spark out there. I will set him in the safety he panteth for. Well, amen. The Lord will give his Psalm 91 Passover to his people who abide in Jesus Christ, which means to abide in his word, right? And the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, purified seven times. The Lord places his word above his name. He wants people to know he will keep his word. And, you know, unbelief is just the problem that people don't believe God will keep his word. And, you know, the Lord told Moses, he said, how long will they not believe in me? Step aside. I'll wipe them out, and I'll make of you a nation. Of course, Moses interceded to the Lord, and it didn't happen immediately. But those who continued to be in unbelief passed away in the wilderness before ever getting to the promised land. And I'm afraid Christians don't realize that that parable is true today, and that when they walk in unbelief, eventually something's going to come along to take them out. We're here to learn to walk by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. When I was a young Christian, I enjoyed walking by faith. I enjoyed seeing God answer my prayers. It was just a joy. It was, of course, always a trial. because the devil's going to try to talk you out of anything you've asked God for. But he that's of God hears the words of God. He doesn't hear the devil. He doesn't hear his preachers, as Jesus said in John chapter 10. He doesn't hear those people. He hears the Lord. And guess what? When you pray and you know he hears and he answers. And in the days to come, this is going to be a very, very important principle, that the people who walk by faith are going to be confident. They're going to be joyous when there's no joy to be had by the world. This is going to be a great, give a great impression on people in the world to know that here's a people that believe that their God saves, that their God delivers. I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't believe that. And it's very plain that they don't. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything of the Lord, you know, we're told. And so the worldly people watch Christians very closely. When Christians give witness and testimony about their faith experiences and the miracles that God did for them, this is so impressive to the lost, because they've seen religion. They've seen pompous leaders that don't have any power, self-righteousness and all this. They've seen this, and it's a real stench in their nostrils. But they need to see somebody that's happy and joyous and serving the Lord and walking by faith and able to tell other people how they can make it through this vile world here. You know, Jesus' last preaching was about going forth, bringing the word, making disciples. This is what we're here for. We're here to be sanctified and go forth and bring the gospel to people around us. Bring the good news. Share the testimonies of that we're just not theologians, but we got an experience. In other words, I know God saves because he did this, this, and this. I know God delivers. I know God heals because he did this, this, and this. Have a testimony. Now, you got to go through a trial of your faith to get a testimony. You do. The devil's going to test you. He's going to keep gnawing on your ear to try to get you to back down and not confess Jesus before men, not confess the word before men. It's going to be a test. But when you go through that fiery trial, it don't do anything but burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. That's all it does. And what's left is Jesus. Right? And that's what we need to do, is walk more and more in his steps. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. And David said, thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. Isn't that a good news? This is a wicked generation. We're greatly outnumbered on earth. The beast hates the saints and planning on making war against them. But the Lord says, thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. And boy, vileness is being exalted. Justice has fallen in the ditch. The most stupid things come forth out of politicians' mouths. It's just amazing and astounding. And the wicked walk on every side as proof that this vileness is exalted. Well, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for being our Lord and our Savior, and that you're true to your word, and that you will preserve those who walk by faith in you. You will set them in the safety that they pant for. You will cut off the flattering lips. Lord, you want a witness in this earth of those who have experienced the proof of your word. Those who confess you before men. They speak the same as you speak, as an oracle of God before men. And you always justify them when they speak agreement with your word and agreement with you. You justify them, you account them righteous, and you give them the answers to their prayers. And you give them the safety, the healing, the deliverance that is the benefits of your kingdom. So Lord, we're just giving praise to you today. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you between now and whenever these things happen that your people will be strong in the faith and encouraged and ready and stable to show those that are running all over the place in chaos because they're looking for something to trust in, that there is someone to trust in, and it's you. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace poured out, your mercy poured out upon us, your wisdom poured out upon us. Lord, fill us with your gifts, fill us with your power. Lord, send your latter rain in your man-child ministry and the multitudes of Christians who have never even received the former rain. Lord, fill them with the former rain, you know, just as you have spoken in Joel, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your great mercy, your great grace. Thank you for drawing us unto you, Lord. We look to you for everything. We ask you, Lord, for that faith in our hearts, that gift of faith in our hearts. You said, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lord, we accept your gifts of faith today. We accept your signs and wonders to confirm the word. We accept your words from prophecy, dreams, visions, revelations that you promised us. We accept them. We thank you, Lord, for confirming or denying whatever parts that we receive that is prophecy in part. You know your word says that prophecy in part shall be done away, and when the perfectness of it comes, the part shall be done away. The completeness is come, the part shall be done away. So we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord. And thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.